In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and the husband and wife, delightful double act of Nigel and Louise Reed, as we discuss the need for taking some brave decisions, bringing some strong prophetic words, but the time for some U-turns in your life might be right now. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say. We've been at this and enjoying each other's company for a number of years now. We are glad that you join us. We are actually recording again in Glasgow in Scotland, but more in real time. So this is very fresh. Often we pre-record, but we are live and in sync with the calendar, and just delighted that 2025 opens for us a myriad of epic possibilities, but will require great bravery in the midst of chaos. And so I am joined in the studio in my house by two of the greatest voices that I know. They will bring you wisdom. You are used to their sound, and I know that you trust them, as David and I and the family of the Global Prophetic Alliance trust them. And they are the husband and wife super team, Nigel and Louise Reed. How are you, Nigel and Louise?
And Louise.
Yes, we are great. We are good. And we are glad to be here.
Good.
Yes. Back from a Christmas in Ireland and back in Glasgow. Firing on all cylinders, Emma.
It literally has been firing on all cylinders.
All cylinders all weekend.
But as ever, we've had our cheese.
Yes, which always helps.
It does. Yeah. The superfood that is.
The bluer, the better.
Well, I had smoked cheese today,
which is
my favorite.
He's the smoked cheese man.
I am not a smoked cheese person. No, thank you very much.
Oh, really?
Smoked cheese, yes.
Yeah. I could eat my body weight in it and have been sometimes known to.
Plus, we also had chicken wings at lunchtime.
I love chicken wings. I missed those. Yeah. I don't know where they were. I never saw them.
And pizza. So Suzanne just knew where to hit me today. Pizza and chicken wings, love it.
As soon as anybody says chicken wings, my children will sing chicken wings, hot dog and bologna, something and pepper.
Where does that come from?
I have utterly no idea. Oh, and I'm not sure what bologna is. Ham?
Bologna?
Yeah, chicken.
Well,
it's got a couple of
meanings, doesn't it?
Pizza and pepperoni. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I think bologna is something that you eat.
Is it not? Isn't ham? It?
Yeah, bologna, but it's also bologna is like you're talking bologna.
Yeah.
Behind the glass
has told
our
us.
Producers and broadcasting team have spoken, and they know pressed meat.
Yeah.
You've just made it sound terrific.
Yeah.
Pressed meat.
What, like spam or something?
Oh, right. Anyway, here we are.
Yeah.
In other words, we're well fed.
Yes.
I hope you're not in your 21-day fast now. Yes. We've just shaken your world. If you are, we bless you to keep fasting and go back to your liquidized chickens. Have you ever liquidized a chicken?
No. It's an insult to every chicken to liquidize them.
No.
They don't texturally taste good liquidized.
No.
Right. Okay. Now that we've got
Meanwhile,
in the word of the Lord, we want to talk to you very specifically and very deliberately as we start 2025 about the need for bravery. Mm-hmm. And Nigel is really moved, I think, by some of the lesser known prophets in Scripture who don't get the headline book Acts. They're not the Isaiahs and the Ezekiels. But they are nonetheless in the biblical text doing remarkable things. And so if you feel like you are lesser known, you need to tune your ears with double attentiveness so that you are encouraged and raised up for greater bravery this year. This is not about the greats. This is greatness wherever you are.
Exactly.
Yes. So Nigel, we're going to kick straight over to you. The ball's at your feet. Mm. And some of you will probably never have read some of these scriptures before.
Or not remember them.
To be fair, I didn't remember all of them.
Well, you see, that's it. Sometimes we just skim over. And I love this because this is taking some scriptures that will be perhaps unfamiliar, but they are going to shine today in a new way.
Yes, in a new way. So I have here 1 Kings 12:22.
Yeah.
Tell us the story, Nigel, because we're not going to look, we're not going to lie and look like we had memorized 1 Kings 12.
We will be fiddling around in the Bible a little bit.
Yes.
But let me just say this, Emma. You know, the context of this for me was really important because it was the end of November. Well, it was November and December of 2024. Now, because of my Bible reading programs that I follow for me personally, I'm always in the same books the same time of year. So I'm always in sort of Chronicles and Kings at the end of the year because I read the Old Testament through in a year. And so for the last 30 years, I've been reading these passages and skimmed over them.
Yeah.
But in the context of the end of 2024, and remember at the start of 24, you as a prophet and other prophets were saying, this is an election year. This is a key time for all that's going on around the world. I think there was, 49 elections or something in the world. Mm-hmm. And also the prophets are talking about chaos.
Yeah.
And for me personally, just as a side issue, you know, for this year, Louise and I were sitting in Chicago on the day of the American election. Mm-hmm. So blue state, blue city, and we're in there. And so we're very aware of the American election. But in our own country, in Ireland, we have a massive election just about to take place. Mm-hmm. We're in and out of the UK. The UK has had just an election that isn't working out very well. Germany has one. So you know, is there chaos in the world? Mm-hmm. There's definitely chaos. And I'm reading Chronicles, and suddenly the Lord starts to speak to me about some of these unknown prophets that are bravely prophesying into situations with kings of, in the end, both Judah and Israel, and going against the grain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And listed enough that going against the grain is notable before the council of God.
Yes.
And God needing to record in his own books those who go against the grain as worthy of applause and celebration.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the areas we're talking about is this transition. And I think probably we don't realize how significant this transition is because we don't focus on it really. And it's the change as the lineage of David, king of Israel, who now has a covenant with his family that he'll be on, you know, on the throne of Judah in the end. But because of Solomon's sin, the kingdom is split.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the people don't realize that. So for them, it's just the next king and the next king and the next king. And suddenly Solomon dies and his son Rehoboam takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with this idea that Rehoboam is coming in, but he's not coming into a full 12 tribe kingdom. He is only coming into a 2-tribe kingdom.
Mm-hmm. So because of the sin, just for our Bible history, obviously there are 12 tribes of Israel and the tribes take their land earlier in the word of God. Mm. They inherit Canaan, the promised land, the 12 tribes, it's split up and they are a nation in 12 parts. But sin is about to split them into what then becomes known as the northern and the southern kingdoms, one of which we call Judah.
Exactly.
Yes, and two tribes and 10 tribes. So we're at a great split in the history of the people of God, which is the noteworthy comment. And it's a reformation period.
Exactly.
Let's deliberately use that word. Do you want to comment on that, Louise? And then Nigel can tell us the story.
Such a moment of change. Yes. And we can just see, even if your ears are up and if you're listening keenly, how much is relevant to where we are right now with reformation, division, godly divisions that God is bringing, and then what he does and how important the word of the prophet is. Mm. And then you're going to take us into...
Yes, and sin bringing separation and splits.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because God needs to protect something and he needs to see that his justice is worked out and that our failure has consequences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, for us, we can look back and go, well, in this historical context, we can see that this is how God has worked things out. But in the moment, which is what God really spoke to me about, in the moment, Rehoboam doesn't realize he's getting a two-tribe kingdom and not a 12-tribe kingdom.
Yeah.
He is not aware of that. As far as he's concerned, he is David's grandson.
I'm next.
I'm next. I'm going to have it.
I'm the big cheese.
And I have the right to it.
Oh.
I have the right to it. And the people think I have the right to it, but God has spoken. And what happens? We get this pearl prophet, and I have great sympathy for him. His name is, believe it or not, it's Shemaiah.
Shemaiah.
I mean, you know him so well. He's on everybody's tongue when it comes to Shemaiah.
He sounds like
Who is Shemaiah?
We name our children's middle names. We're so familiar with it.
But Rehoboam is rising up for war because, you know, people are threatening his reign, threatening his rulerdom. Mm-hmm. And Pearl Shemaiah has to come before him and say, this is of God. Uh-huh. And I'm just going to read two verses in chapter 12
verse
of
1 Kings 12.
Verse 21. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered all Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 able young men, to go to war against Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam and Solomon. Really important that. Mm-hmm. He's going to get what's rightfully God's and rightfully his.
Yeah.
But this word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Now we go, that's lovely. The word of God comes to the prophet. Can you imagine that poor prophet who has to get this word that God has given him? Maybe you have sympathy with this, Emma.
I have actually great sympathy where you put your head in your hands and you think, please Jesus, no. And please, may I be wrong.
Yes.
And then you phone a friend. Usually I start with my husband. Tell me that I've eaten too much smoked cheese and can we not have any of this? And then you think, oh no, this is the word of the Lord. And you don't finish the sentence with, and thanks be to God.
Yeah, exactly.
So verse 22, but the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, say to Rehoboam, now he's the king. You know, this is not just the fellow sitting next door to you. This is the king of Israel.
Yeah.
Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all Judah and Benjamin and to the rest of the people who are sitting there ready to go to war, this is what the Lord says, do not go up against your brothers and fight the Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing.
How on earth do you wind back from war? 180,000 soldiers.
Able
soldiers.
Young men.
Who have hyped themselves
With the adrenaline running.
Yeah.
To say, oh, and now go home.
Yeah.
And even more than that, Emma, this guy is the son of the covenant. This is the covenant God has made with David, with Solomon, and now I'm standing in the inheritance of my covenant. Of course I'm going to rise up and fight. This is just something coming against me. And Pearl Shemaiah has to go and say, I'm sorry, you're out of line. The Lord says, back off.
In other words, it's what you think you own, you don't anymore. What you worked for generations is no longer yours.
Mm-hmm.
What the baton passing has come to an end, and the sense of like you were great and you built great things and your family line did great and your tradition was outstanding, and now it must stop. And you can apply that to nations, to denominations, to movements within the earth today, that, and there's legitimately amazing things in the history, and they are rabidly wired to protect their own. Who isn't?
Yes.
Go home, sit down, stop it. You have to now settle for significant loss. And it's not a little bit of diminishing. It's not a little bit of diminishing. I would not even remotely compare this to Gideon, where Gideon is diminishing an army that have not even yet gone to war.
No.
This is a loss of what you already own, and you're losing, you know, 80% of it.
Yes, yes.
What I find astounding is the next bit, which I think is incredibly challenging. So they obeyed the word of the Lord and went home again as the Lord had ordered. It is a powerful sentence. Mm-hmm. They obeyed the word of the Lord and they did exactly what they were told, yeah, as the Lord had mm-hmm. ordered. Can you imagine putting that into this day and age? That is an extraordinary statement, because we're so used to, no, but we've made all this prep. This is the trajectory. Mm-hmm. We've been planning mm-hmm. for this mm-hmm. for years, mm-hmm. Et cetera, that to have that level of the fear of the Lord yeah. and the honor of his word, that when the word comes, it is immediate obedience and it is total obedience. And it's interesting that, mm-hmm. you know, back to the prophet, back to good old Shemaiah. I mean, the trajectory could have been different. It could have been, and they turned on him yes. and they threw a sword through him.
Cut his head off because yeah. he didn't like the word.
It could
went
have
to
been
social media and did assassination.
Absolutely. It could yeah. have Absolutely. Been completely the opposite direction. And when Shemaiah stood up, he didn't know which way it was going to go.
And that's the really important part. That is the brave part. Shemaiah did not know what way this was going to go.
Mm.
And that really struck me as it with, yeah. with these people we're going to be looking at. They don't know what yeah. way it's going to go. We can read it centuries later and go, well,
yeah, and you gloss
know,
over
they must
it
have
a
known.
Little.
But I tell you, I think it was a brave thing to stand
brave.
Up to Rehoboam and say, tell your soldiers to go home.
That's it.
This is
yeah.
God.
I have questions, really, I suppose, as a prophet, and many of those who are our loyal listeners are deeply in love with the word of God. And you guys watching and listening are revelators by instinct and preference, no matter whether you're known or unknown or shallow waters or deep waters. You have it in your heart. You wouldn't be listening to what the prophets say if you didn't. And I wonder in that, you know, mostly even the more significant words that I hear given, the kind of ones that you as a prophet see to have God fully within them, mm. They don't always sound different to the word that doesn't have God in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's said through a human voice box. Mm-hmm. It's said very often with fear and trembling, whether it's from God or not from God. And so I have questions about what differentiated this that the people knew to obey. And I wonder whether it's just that the people knew what it was to fear God.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And they were willing to fear God.
Mm.
And even if the prophet stumbled over their words,
yeah.
But when an accurate word came, they had the fear of God enough to realize it was accurate, to realize they mm. could obey it mm. and should obey it and had to obey it. And I wonder when we get true prophetic words that don't stamp and shout, true prophetic words that don't even come in an ecstatic state, true prophetic words that sound in a style like an averagely dreadful prophetic word, but true prophetic words that don't, by how they're delivered, have a, you know, like a glory glow or a visible tongue of fire mm-hmm. coming out of the mouth. What is it that grabs the heart to say, I recognize that's from God and I'm going to obey it? I think it's a culture that lives in the fear of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just applying that back to ourselves.
Yes.
Take courage. This is a lesser known prophet, mm-hmm. but for all of us, being readied by God in any situation
yeah.
to bring the word of the Lord, and not to assume, whether that's in our work situations, our home situations, mm. just in general life, but not assuming that our words will be refused,
mm-hmm.
but that, and it's not that our words may come with great power or, as you said, with you know, with lights and action or anything like that, but to expect that the fear of the Lord will be there, and to assume that God is with you as a lesser known prophet,
yeah.
somebody where your name may never be known or on the headlines yeah. or in social media, but you may just be positioned to bring the word of the Lord in a moment, and it yeah. will be powerful and it will be effective.
Have you guys, as a husband and wife team, ever had a moment where you were on a trajectory that a little bit like this one, the King is making some reasonable assumptions here, because there's a lot of background to, it's my turn.
Yeah.
I'm now on the throne. Mm. My family have walked this walk. I'm picking up the baton of the generations. Have you ever come to a point where you as a family unit have gone, actually, we're on a very good trajectory. We know what's next. And then the word of the Lord intercepts. And you have to, it's not a small pivot. It's a absolute 180 U-turn. Has that ever happened? Have you been brave enough? You're going many times.
Well, it's happened many times, but the big one for us, for a moment, 2014.
Well, that might be a big one for you.
They
were all big.
We're running a church in South Dublin. It's kind of the place to come
all
if
singing,
you're in
all
that
dancing.
Sort of Revival Alliance, charismatic, whatever. Teams are coming in from Toronto and Bethel and others.
Yeah.
We have a name. It's going really well. Mm. And I had an inkling.
You did.
I had an inkling. This isn't going. This is. We have to get out of here.
God's going to do something different.
God's going to do something. And I get rung up, and Stacey Campbell wants to come in. You know Stacey.
Yeah.
And Stacey comes in and stays with us. And the first night she's in, and she stands up, and Stacey, the head is spinning, and she just turns around and says, "Nigel, get up and go." As Abraham got up and went, not knowing where he's going, you get up and go now.
That's a brutal word.
It is brutal.
Yes. Yeah.
And the whole church sitting there and lots of visitors. I mean, the place is packed because it's Stacey. She's coming to South Dublin.
And because you're carrying the cutting edge
Absolutely.
In that part of the world.
And she
you
just
see,
spoke
there's
it.
The thing. When things are going badly and a prophet comes and says something like, get up and go, you kind of think,
thank goodness,
Lord has heard my prayers. Here's my deliverance. But when something's going really well, then that's a challenge. But God is gracious. And actually, in that instance, three prophets came through the house and another prophet was in contact, all with exactly the same word.
And we didn't invite any of them in.
No,
I was rung up on every occasion saying, Nigel, I'm in Ireland. So, can I come to your church? Because that's what happened with
us. And they came with the same word. So, that's wonderful. I mean, if a word comes once, well done if you obey it straight away, like these guys did with Shemaiah. Yeah. However, the Lord graciously brought it four times.
Yeah.
And I have to say that it wasn't an easy thing to do.
That was my next
obey.
Question for you. Emotionally, talk to me about that, because I think we've got two sorts of people listening. The people who will have to, some of you will have to bring these words with great bravery that seem like a wild nonsense because it's U-turn ending type words. And you think, oh God, you must be more gracious than this. But sometimes God is like, no, that's enough. You're losing an awful lot today. And so there'll be those of us who have to give that. And then there are those of us who have to receive it and be brave enough to lay down every single strategy and plan. And there are emotions that are actually quite extreme on both sides of that obedience. I'm really only talking about the obedience portion, the obedience to give and the obedience to receive an action. The non-obedience, I think, it's a whole load of other judgment that they come under and they lose lives. And God forces his agenda anyway. So you'd rather lose in partnership with God and obedience and change in partnership with God and obedience rather than have it foisted on you and then you're out of his favour. But just talk to me about the depth of the emotions so that our loyal listeners can partner with that.
Well, I'll give you a leadership top tip on it, and Louise can fill in the bit. As a leader, you have to make the brave decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do I accept this word as being from the Lord or do I not? And that's easier said than done.
True.
Everyone goes, oh, of course you, but you don't know. Just with Shemaiah here, you don't know. I mean, Stacey's not usually wrong, but maybe she was.
Yes.
And so that was a big one I had to process. Then I process it with our leadership team who aren't at one with it at all.
No, fair enough, because they've been giving their lives to legitimately support the vision, which was from God up to that
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you discover that there are at least three different sorts of people in your world. You have those who who are there because they like what you're doing, and as long as you keep doing it the way they like it, they'll stay.
Yeah.
The second are those who go, I'll follow you anywhere. And then something like this comes and they start to follow and go, I can't do this anymore. It's and I had conversations with people going, Nigel, I love you. I support what you do. I thought I'd be with you forever, but I can't get up and go. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. And there are those who are loyal to the end. And if that's what God's saying, we're going with you. Mm-hmm. And we definitely had those three. I'm sure there's others. But we had those three. And as a leader, you're going to get those three sorts of people.
Yeah. The loss then of your friendships as much as it is the loss of the vision and the loss of location and the loss of how you spend your days.
Yes. Huge level of loss.
Yes.
And thrust, you then know, God, am I really sacrificed to you, or and am I yielded or am I not? But can I just say, God is incredible and he is so kind. Mm-hmm. And if we listen to him, because when we did make the decision to do something pretty radical, when things were absolutely at their height, the Lord then spoke to me so tenderly and told me what he was actually doing and gave reformed it in my mind. So then that gave me the courage to follow through, because what you're going to have to face, you must have the strength of your own convictions and the conviction of the Lord, because otherwise you wouldn't stand against people's comments or their withdrawal from you or whatever. Yes. And then knowing that we don't do things perfectly either. So,
and we probably didn't.
I think this conversation is very helpful as we wrap up for today, because there is real understanding that God is not just offering you kind of a happy pair of tap shoes that you dance around, smell the tulips, eat your favorite cheese and sip your favorite drink. That this call has significant U-turns.
Yes.
Where one trajectory was very right and then the opposite trajectory is as equally very right. And that pivot is a real throwing yourself into God. I'm very struck as we have been journeying these last few months, how concerned God is about eternity more than my comfort today.
For sure.
And how God is more concerned with my pivoting obedience that tears me apart.
Yes.
Than anything I would sacrifice to keep the vision going. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Completely.
All of that is in it. And so we bless you to hear the word of the Lord today. We bless you from our house and home together in Glasgow, in Scotland, to find the courage to be the brave prophet. But I think for all of us to find the courage to be the brave pivoter and the courageous person who trembles rightly with the fear of the Lord, to be able to do those significant endings and significant U-turns when you've already battle planned for a certain trajectory. Thank you for your ears. Thank you for your eyes. Thank you for your hearts and your time. And we will see you very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.